Welcome back. Just a few WhatsApps I want to get in. Some person says here, maybe the debating aspect of elections will be included in a revision of the political landscape, Constitution of the Republic of Barbados. Another writer says, good morning, Masig, how are you? Blah, blah, blah. I don't think that having a debate makes any difference because at the end of the day, three quarters of these things that are debated will never see the day of light. Debates are just for likes because we don't put any pressure on politicians to keep their manifesto promises or anything that they say or promise to do. So that's one other view. And another person is asking for me to explain why should China should have been closed immediately. Well, I think that's a no-brainer. If you know you have a pandemic and you don't have a clue, or you have a virus, I should say, not a pandemic, the virus originated in your country. As soon as you know, I believe you alert the relevant health authorities and you shut down your country, in particular when you don't know what it is. And if that had occurred, then the world would not be in the position it is today, where we're all trying to fend for ourselves and to avoid COVID-19. So I'm hoping that moving forward, and then in the next virus, and if it originates, let's just say if it originates here in Barbados, there's an immediate lockdown and then allow for other countries to assist us, if that be the case, or whatever country it is, so that we don't have a repeat of this ever again. Down to brass tacks, you're on the air.
Hi, good day, Joanne. Irene here.
Hi, how are you?
And excited sisters. I called in to add credence to what Mark Williams would have said earlier about using technology in the middle of a pandemic.
This is
And
Irene Sandiford Garner, right?
yes,
Okay,
sorry.
good. Just making sure. No two
Yes, and
Irenes.
you know that sound under 80 years old. when he was not an octogenarian. Anyway, the point is, he was correct, absolutely correct. And I wanted to call in to let him know that the Democratic Labour Party has been doing it for the past 3 weeks. In the first week of the campaign, we had to decide how we were going to meet our people in St. George North, outside of knocking on doors. And given the limited amount of time, the campaign has to be very targeted and it has to be concentrated. And we started Zoom meetings. We invite residents to join us on Zoom twice a week. So there are 2 evenings a week that the candidates spend in a town hall environment on Zoom, meeting with residents and listening to their concerns and exchanging ideas. So he was on the money, meaning Mark, and he spoke about being safe but being effective. That's what we've been doing, and we've been doing it every week for the past couple of weeks, and it's working.
So what is your take then on the debates, Irene, in terms of not, we're hearing, well, I've read reports of the party not participating in debates. Is that
Right.
correct?
You want my honest, frank opinion?
Well, nothing else. That would, Irene's opinion.
No, the debate, as far as I'm concerned, debates are a waste of time and a waste of CBC's resources. You know why? Because we are not in a general election. We don't have to have a debate between Tony and Floyd on CBC TV to give their position to the people of St. George North. This is not a national election. It is not a national campaign. So why are you using a national platform to speak to local issues when you could speak to those people? The technology is there for you to speak to those people directly and hear from them what they would wish to see in you and exchange with them all the ideas that are on the table. So I think it's just a waste of time. I know the objective of it is to showcase the government candidates. And that is their prerogative, but it does not mean that the Democratic Labour Party has to conform to the government agenda.
But wouldn't it give you an opportunity to showcase your candidate too as well?
But he is being showcased to the people of St. George North every single day. Mm-hmm. We have used every forum on social media to do so. Mm-hmm. We don't have to be in a studio to do that. When he has no time on the ground as it is, why truncate your canvassing to come in there to debate to Barbados?
Okay, so the well, I guess, like I said, your position then is no to the debates. What about town hall meetings that we discussed with Mark when you said you're already doing Zoom? But they're like town hall-like meetings, or?
Yes, they are. They're not private chat Zoom meetings. Mm-hmm. They are town hall meetings. So everybody comes to the meeting, but online. So you can stay in your... This is the thing. You have technology available. The world has advanced to the stage now where you could have hundreds of people meeting you on different nights per week and doing the same thing from their home that they would ordinarily have to travel to a school to do.
But would and people get a chance to ask questions, like for a debate, where questions are posed to candidates and you get a response on what, you know, what is your position on this and what your position on that?
But this is it. That's what has been happening. That's what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. This is what, have you seen them on CNN? Have you watched any of the elections?
The town hall like style.
So you invite people, you go around to homes and you invite people, you send out, because obviously you have your database, so you send out invitations to residents of that community. If it was a national endeavor, it would be different. You could use CBC, the two leaders debate, and that could happen. And I do not understand why it didn't happen in the national election, because I'm sure some of us would have wanted to debate our opponents. But we didn't get a chance to do that. But yet we're doing it at the parochial level in St. George North. When you could use, as I said, we use Zoom, and residents ask him questions directly. They've also been asking questions of the party, which is important too, because given what happened in 2018, it is an excellent opportunity to get feedback from the residents of St. George North as to how they actually feel about Democrat Labour Party. Mm-hmm. So it serves a dual purpose. But the as far as I'm concerned, the major role here was to have members of the community of St. George North ask Floyd Reese direct questions and have him answer them face-to-face, but virtually. So there was no issue of us, those of us who are compromised. I'm a compromised person. I won't want to be in a town hall environment at this time. But I could stay in my room and watch the Zoom. Mm-hmm. And as I said, I'm not...
Well, a virtual town hall is basically what you're doing. That's...
Yes, that's what we do. That's, okay. We do it twice a week, every week. And we've been doing it from the beginning because, as I said, as we realized that we had half the time that you normally would have for an election period, we had to devise strategies to meet as many people as possible in the constituency of St. George North, because he is not seeking endorsement from Barbados. He's seeking endorsement from the people of St. George North. This is a very local election.
I understand that, but let's just pretend this, that you were in government and this is your by-election. And that person then may not only win as an MP, but may go on to become a minister on a bigger scale. Don't you think then Barbadians should have a right to know a little bit more about the candidates in that regard?
Well, if it's a national election, sure.
No, but including a by-election, would that should not be something that you want to look at in case the individual, whoever wins, let's just say you were in government and your candidate won, and went on to become minister of something, shouldn't the public have an idea as to who that individual is a little bit more than just the at the localized level?
But, Joanne...
Just asking.
I am saying it this way. Mm-hmm. We have had by-elections and general elections for decades. This is not unique. Mm-hmm. Floyd Reese is no different to any other election candidate who would have been sent for from a community. And none of them had to have a televised debate with anybody. So why is it now it's so important to know who he is through a national debate. It doesn't make sense. It's a waste
of time. You ever looked at the other side of this and said, well, maybe this may be the new way of them wanting to do things? Similarly, remember, because of the 30 Love, and there was no one to debate with in terms of Parliament, you had to set it up in the Wells of Parliament. You brought individuals, government workers in the Wells of Parliament to speak about their ministry, which was something very new. So I'm saying, could we not still look at from another side of things? Maybe this is a sign of the times of things to come. Maybe.
Well, if you put that argument to me, I would tell you this. I would have seen it that way had the journalist initiated the idea. Mm-hmm. But the idea for the debate came from the government. And from the time the government, meaning the prime minister, announced that she would make CBC available to the candidates to have a debate, red light started flashing. Because debates are the purview of the journalistic community. And that is a global standard. No government, no prime minister, no president declares that they are going to initiate debates between candidates. So already you saw a bias. So then the DAJ took it over. Really and truly, it was a moot point, pardon the pun, because there is no way that any self-respecting opposition is going to follow the agenda of a government in a general election. The Electoral and Boundaries Commission and the journalists should have come up with that idea. And I think it would have been more palatable to most persons who are now objecting. Those who have decided to acquiesce, that's their privilege. But it is the Democratic Party's privilege to decline.
Okay, well, I understand that, and I want to thank you, Irene, for coming to expand it a little bit somewhat and answer some questions. Obviously, we appreciate it, and best of luck to all of you. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Yes, go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Hi, did anyone calling in your opening remarks, you asked about COVID and how is that with our polyclinics. Did anyone call
No, I haven't heard anyone. I've seen any messages to explain that as yet.
Okay, well, I'm not going to. I'm going to tell you my experience now.
Please do.
I came into the island on September 29th, and I had already had my COVID test before I left London. I went through the procedure, which is you get your temperature tested, you get sanitized, you go to the immigration, then you get into another line, and then they tell you what they expect of you. And I was told I was to go home. I wasn't being quarantined. I must go home and take my temperature for 7 days, and 7 days after I had had my test in London, I had my test on the 27th, I was to get another test. In that time, a nurse called me and said she was following up on my what I was doing, if I was taking my temperature, and I think that was on the Thursday, I came in the Tuesday. That Thursday, an officer, a health officer, also came to my house and told me what is expected of me again. And he
Hello? Oh, no. Oh, no. Caller, if you can call us back, please. We lost that call, unfortunately. Oh, dear. Down to Brass Tacks. Caller, we lost you. If you can call back, we would appreciate it. Yes, sir. You're on the air. Should we have the... Okay, we're going to put her back on. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Right. So they came to the house and he told me what was expected of me in terms mainly of taking my temperature twice a day, morning and evening. And then he called the Sunday. Well, he also mentioned that I had to go to the polyclinic, and he told me it was, I asked him which, and I don't think he told me then. And he asked me how he would get there, and I told him I would take the bus, and he said he didn't want me doing that, but I didn't let him say anything. So I told him then I would organize, I would get there, and I walked because I'm not I'm about a mile away, but I get accustomed to walking. So I told him I wouldn't take public transport, I would walk.
Mm-hmm.
So the Sunday then, he called and he told me to go to Sir Winston Scott, and he also gave me a time. I was to get there for 9:12, which I thought was an odd time, you know? 12 minutes
yeah.
past 9.
Yeah.
Anyway, I walked down, and when I got there, they did start late, but he also told me there'll be two tents set up. I am to go to the tent furthest away from the gate, which I went to, and there were a few other people sitting under there. I asked.
So they told you that when you got there?
No, he told me that on the phone.
On the phone, where you're supposed to go. Okay.
Yeah, he told me when I'm supposed to go and exactly where I was to go.
Okay.
And he also, when I got there, I asked, is this the where you come to get all your COVID tests? And the people responded. Mm-hmm. And then a lady came out, and she apologized for the late start. And then she took those who had appointments. She took us in first. She took us in. I think four at a time. And there weren't that many people under the tent when I got there.
Mm-hmm.
So four went in, and then she came back for another four. I was in that second batch. We sat about 3 feet apart.
Mm-hmm.
The wait was not long inside. They swabbed my nose.
Mm-hmm.
In London, I had a throat swab and a nose swab. But here, they just swabbed my nose. And even though it was a little teeny, weeny bit uncomfortable, nothing to be...
So when so the persons under this tent were all waiting for a test. So when you entered into, you got the tests under another tent or
no,
in the actual
no,
building?
No, I went into the building
uh-huh.
through a separate door.
Right.
Now, it wasn't the main door where those people who were standing in a line waiting for a dress.
Other things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we went in a door, which you would say was at the back.
Right. Okay.
So I got my nose swabbed, and mm-hmm. then they told me, hello.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
They told me when I would receive, they said I would receive my results within 24 to 48 hours. And I went through a different door from the door I came in, but still at the back.
Mm-hmm.
And I received my results the Tuesday.
Okay.
Which
I'm hoping you're okay.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Good.
It's within 24 hours. But my thing about the self-isolation is I you expect people to do the right thing.
Self-quarantine, because it's two different things. Self-quarantine would be you're waiting to find out if you... Yeah, self-isolation would be you have COVID and you're asked to self-isolate.
Okay. All right. Wrong term.
That's all right. I discussed that only this morning before I got on the air. But before you move on, I have a little issue. I think that your story, and I'm glad you're able to share it, because mm-hmm. it gives people a sense of relief that things
yeah.
are being done in the right way, and not from persons saying that they come outside and they say, persons who want COVID this way and the other patients that way.
No.
That was not your experience.
I don't know if it's done differently than it's at other polyclinics,
mm-hmm.
than it's done at Sir Winston Scott, but they were very professional.
Very good. No,
yeah,
I'm glad to hear, but here's the thing. If you did not ask that health official about the transportation,
mm-hmm.
you know that you probably would have gone and caught the bus.
No, I think he would have brought it up. Because
you think so? Okay.
Me, yeah, he asked me,
how are you getting there?
You getting there, mm-hmm. yeah. He did. He did ask me.
But
that.
Okay, so he asked you, and if you said a car, and you said, okay, fine. I'm not saying that, you know, what if the car didn't come? Would you have, in your own mind, use your own discretion and say, you know what? I should not take a bus. What I'm trying to get at here is that part of this whole procedure really needs to hit home to individuals that they're not to take public transport when waiting.
And he did say that. He said, we do not want you taking public transport. But I didn't wait for him to say, well, we will send transportation for you. I didn't wait for that.
Oh, that's an option too?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know.
Somebody would have to call and say if that's mm-hmm. an option. I just said to him, I will walk. And I did. But my thing about self quarantining is that, yeah, you expect people to do the correct thing. Huh? Mm-hmm. It's an expectation that is not always fulfilled. And you do not know the environment I'm coming into, you know, the health authorities. I would not have minded if I was asked to go at a facility and wait it out, because in my house is full. My house is bursting at the seams with people. And
really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some small children in here.
So everybody, well, you obviously stay in a room and...
How could I stay in a room? Let's say right now, because my house is so crowded, I don't have a room.
Mm-hmm.
So, and...
So you're the only one that was required to be tested then in that case?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess, put it this way, there would be no need to test everybody if you're negative, and I guess you would take steps.
Exactly. You know. But my thing is, you know, they talk about false negative and all the other things. But because you do not know what environment I am going to end up in, what my house, how big or how small it is, and if I can really self-quarantine, and in a lot of cases, there are few people who do not have to be policed.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when I say policed, you know what I mean.
Yeah. But don't you think that is sad, though, that
adults
who understand and seen that there are over 1 million persons now, they're dead, they've gone because of COVID, and the millions of people who are suffering and the job losses, and would make a better decision to say, look, you know what, this disease can kill, let me do the right thing. And they don't. But then people blame governments. I'm not saying that, and government is not perfect. They're trying to put protocols in place. They're not perfect protocols, and they're getting tweaked as we go along. But if I tell you, for example, your child at home, all right, we're going to provide free education, school meals, etc. Should I come home now and police whether the child should do the homework or not? Who's responsible? You know what I mean? It gets to that stage.
But what you're saying should happen and what does happen are completely different.
Mm-hmm.
We do not live in that type of society where everybody is a responsible citizen.
No, they're not. Hence the reason we need to have some rules, and which is unfortunate that people can know. Well, not unfortunate in a sense. I think it's kind of good, really, that if you don't comply, then you're going to have to face the consequences with the law.
Yeah.
And it's come to that. It wasn't like that in the beginning. But I think Barbadians would support that to make sure that people just don't hop on a bus or sneak out to get a drink. And then the other thing, too, about people coming to visit you. If you're in quarantine, you're in quarantine. You know, some really dumb decisions are being made by some individuals.
Because nobody is dying in Barbados.
No. We've had 7 deaths already so far.
Yes, you had 7 deaths.
I'm going to knock on that wood there right now.
Yes,
because
we've had 7 deaths in the early days. My thing is that there are no... Because I am not following the statistics, but I'm saying that the most vulnerable are the ones who...
Not necessarily. We've had some... They've had some cases and unexplained cases. And
unexplained
for different various... The point is that we don't know a lot about COVID as much as we would like to. But the things we do know in terms of protecting ourselves, the applied sensible thing to do, because, again, I try to refrain from using the word common, because if it was common, everybody would have it. People just need to exercise better judgment if they want to live, or if they want their loved ones to, especially the vulnerable ones, to survive. But I want to thank you so much. Thought it was a great contribution sharing your experience with us. Someone just sent me an article here that Pope Francis has now endorsed same-sex civil unions for the first time as pontiff while being interviewed for the feature-length documentary Francesco. So that's now coming out today, that Pope Francis has now endorsed same-sex civil unions. Down to brass tacks, you are on the air.
Hello?
Yes.
Good afternoon, Mr.
Good afternoon.
Right, I'm the preacher man.
Preacher man, okay.
Yeah, I want to ask you a question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe in God?
Yes, I do.
You believe in His Word, the Bible?
I believe in God and my interpretation of His word.
Good. So if you believe in God, well, you think that you should be standing for the things and the principles that God stands for? So how I hear it from you this morning that once two consenting adults,
mm-hmm.
what they do in the privacy of their home,
mm-hmm.
let it be two males or two females,
mm-hmm.
it is okay. It's not okay. Whether they do it in the middle of Broad Street or mm-hmm. the privacy of their home, it's not okay. It's not right.
Mm-hmm.
God said in His word, for a man to lie with a man as he lies with a woman is an abomination mm-hmm. unto him.
How does that impact? How does it impact you as a Christian?
I don't care what impact me. You just hold on.
Okay.
You just hold on.
Okay. Right? I'm setting up for this preaching lesson here.
I heard, and I want people to know and understand that first. That whether they do it in Broad Street or the privacy of the home, it is wrong.
Okay.
Good. I heard Mr. David Ellis on Monday saying that people should come out and speak out with the same emphasis about the crime and violence in the island that they are doing with this same sex union.
I agree with that.
Good. We have crime and violence in the island. I do not condone crime. I speak with that also.
Mm-hmm.
But two wrongs do not make a right.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I know and can remember, people were speaking out about crime and violence in this island for a very long time. What I would like to see is people come out and put pressure on the government to let the yellow swing again, to bring back hanging. That's what we're doing in this island.
Mm-hmm.
People are talking about hanging in a deterrent. Hanging is not supposed to be deterrent. The Bible says, if you take a man's life, if you are alive, you shall pay for it. And I honestly believe, if you go and commit murder, or you lay there for a woman to rape, she then murder, she go to somebody's house, steal and then kill that person, and you find you guilty, beyond reasonable doubt, you should be hanged.
Mm-hmm.
If that you get in a fight, you want to represent yourself, self-defense, I could be in leniency with you. Good. Now, there's a few texts I want to look at in the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 2, from verse 1 down to verse 6. So I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. No, He said, we'll let all men to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is God's word. And God said in His word, homosexuality is wrong. Good. The next text I want to look at is 1 Timothy
Okay, well, if I could say something while you search.
Yes, you go ahead. Yeah.
Right.
You
have it?
Okay. 2 Timothy 3:16, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We just hold on and give you. I just want to read these few texts before you question me.
Mm-hmm.
I got to go to the Bible called the brain now. I'm almost 7 years old.
Where are you looking at? A gentleman, WhatsApper rather, just messaged me and said, you do not believe in God of the Bible. You believe in some other God. You are just religious. Now,
did we tell you?
This is what he's telling me now. And
Now, this 2 Peter 1, verse 19.
I'm going to give you one more verse to read, and then we have to have a discussion, okay?
Yeah.
Right.
We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed. as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day of dawn and the day of star arise in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You want to ask me what you want to ask me. There's one more I have to give you before you finish, though, but you go ahead.
Okay.
What you want to ask.
All right. Well, I'll be brief because you talked about the killings and people having to pay the price, you know, for doing bad to others, hurting other people. You mentioned rape and murder and robbery, all of those things that society and governments and the police, you know, they and God bless the police, let me just say that, because they're doing an incredible job and it's difficult, trying to keep the public safe. You would agree with that?
Correct.
All right. Someone comes into your home, uninvited. Obviously, you're scared. You don't want to be hurt by anyone. You don't want to be killed. You don't want to be robbed. You certainly don't want to be raped. None of the above, correct?
Sure.
So let's flip this here now to homosexuality. And someone, two adults making a decision that they want to enter into a relationship, whether that be close friends, with benefits, whatever you want to call it, civil union, that's their thing. Please tell me, how is that compared to what we just highlighted?
The fact remains is it murder is a sin, is wrong. Homosexuality is wrong, it's a sin.
I understand that. I get that, but I'm asking you, when someone, again, comes into your home and violates your space, takes away your life, your child's life, your family, your friends.
God forbid.
How God forbid, and we knocking some wood again, we've been knocking on wood all day. But just
God,
what I'm saying, but listen, give me a hearing. What I'm asking you, okay, well,
dead.
All right, well, that's not, okay, we thank you for that. Thank you for throwing
you
that
too.
In. We,
because they get a chance at me, I know what they can do to me too.
All right, well, thank you for explaining that. But my point is homosexuality now, as you said, is a sin as well. But how does that violate you as an individual? It's not for you, obviously. You don't do it. I just want to know how does that hurt you?
I admit that it hurt me, right?
Mm-hmm.
I am a Christian.
Right.
I love God, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we read that text to you first. God died for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's my duty to let the homosexuals know that what they're doing is wrong.
Or is your duty to judge?
I'm not judging. I am not judging, Miss. Do I ever go down that road? I'm not judging.
But you said it is your duty to do what?
You know, I'm letting them know that it's a sin. You know why? Because the Bible tells me, if I do not speak out and let them know that it's a sin, God going to require their blood at my hands. Their blood.
Whose blood? Whose blood? Their blood?
Yeah.
So you will be blamed for seeing it and not saying anything. Is that what you're
correct.
Saying?
Correct.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a different way of looking at it. I didn't look at it that way. So in your mind, in your opinion, okay, you believe that you are here on earth to make sure that others know the word of God, which I know a lot of Christians do. Jehovah's Witnesses, they do it. They go door to door. There's nothing wrong with that. But if they don't comply, do you think that you are going to go to hell because you told them what you believe God said and you read them the scripture? But if Mary and Mary or John and John decide that they want to have a relationship, do you think that you will pay the price for them having to make that decision still?
You asking me if they don't comply, if they will go to hell?
No. You said that the blood of their whatever will be on your hands if you don't share the word, if you don't educate them, if you don't let them know, which I think is fair. I think a man has a right to his opinion. You're telling people and you're spreading the word of God as you interpret it, and you're spreading it. That's fine. But if they don't do it, if they don't do it, is it on your hands?
Mr. Hold on, I do not interpret the Bible. The Bible interprets itself.
Okay. Your understanding, your understanding, sir, and there's so many different religions, believe in me, and everybody reading the same book. There are several interpretations of that. That is their perception, and I'm not here to question it, and I ain't going into that with you. What I'm asking you, I'm just asking you with all due respect, when you share that word about homosexuality to the homosexuals, and they continue to be homosexuals, do you take that as you failed, or you leave it knowing that you've done your part by educating them and just leave the rest to God? That's what I'm asking.
I did my part, the rest to God.
Thank you. But that's all. Listen, nobody has, let me rephrase that. I can't speak for everybody. But when you do your part, I got a lot of Jehovah's Witnesses friends, and my best friends are Jehovah's Witnesses. They can't get me to become one, but I love them dearly. And they have their position. I have mine. We respect each other's views. And if they choose to educate me and tell me, well, Joanne, you know, God sent, and I listen and I go, okay, thank you. Some of it I take in, some of it I don't. It doesn't mean that they've failed. They've done their part. You have done yours and you can continue to do yours. But something like choosing to love somebody happening to be the same sex really is on them. It is not on you. You've done your part.
We don't establish that fact.
But then, how does it impact you? Like murder, robbery, rape.
I just told you.
Does it stop you? Let me bring it this way. Does it stop you? All right, I get that.
And it's my duty as a Christian.
I agree.
To put people in the right direction.
All right, sir. But I'm asking you: does it stop you? In the same way, if something tragic, like all of those other horrible things that hurt other people, would it impact you in the same way? That's all I'm asking.
Ms. Egg, I'm saying to you.
Would it impact you the same way?
Ms. Egg, I'm saying to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because people is trying to bring the two different things together, about crime and homosexuality.
No, all I'm asking is, would it impact you in the same way as murder, robbery, rape, all of those things that hurt other people, would it impact you knowing that your neighbor, John and John, happy and they're living together, would that make you feel uncomfortable in the same way if somebody came in and broke into your home or did something to your family or somebody molests a child and nobody does anything about it? How does that impact you when John and John decides to do their thing in the privacy of their home? Yes, sir.
I explained to you already. Letting somebody home and kill them.
Mm-hmm.
Two consulting adults that you all are seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And they got to have their fling. Mm-hmm. All two is wrong. All two is sin.
We get that. You're right in your opinion. Right. If you want to say it wrong,
it
wrong.
It hurt me. Hello.
It hurts you.
When I hear somebody take somebody's life. So
right.
It affects me too.
Mm-hmm.
It affects me too.
So John and John next door would make you feel the same way?
Hello?
John and John next door, Mary and Mary next door, living next door in the same neighborhood, would that make you feel the same way when you drive past there and knowing that they're in the garden together, right, planting flowers?
The same way that I feel sorry for the person that commit the murder,
mm-hmm,
as well as the person that lose someone due to that act. I feel sorry for this woman. That's the same way.
Okay.
I'm trying to tell you.
Okay.
I go out to get you to the murderer, and I go out to get you to homosexuals after one final place in God's eternal kingdom.
Okay.
God does not save mankind in sin. He saves man from sin.
Mm-hmm.
And before I go,
mm-hmm,
one last text I'm going to leave with you.
Okay.
And this is 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face,
mm-hmm,
and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. And I can tell you right now, this land needs a lot of healing. You better believe it.
I want to tell you this, though. I really, really enjoyed your contribution. To me, it was a breath of fresh air.
Thank you very much.
I really want to tell you that.
I don't call the program. I don't call the program often. Mm-hmm. I listen to it.
No, I enjoyed it. This is why, you know, I like these little debates, because you bring your position and I respect that. I really do. I respect the fact that you want to share the word of God. But I also recognize that, you know, that when you've done your part, then there's nothing more you can do.
Exactly.
Right, and we agree on that.
Sow the seed and mm-hmm. let the Holy Spirit do the rest.
Let him do the rest, and I agree with that. That's fine. Mm-hmm. I agree. But you take care, and I really thank you for reading the scriptures and sharing it with us, okay? Thank you.